14. And see, what the Lord would have us reflect on through his word to prepare us for the new year. Verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, as we bow in your presence this evening, we're reminded once again, not only of time, but of eternity. We're reminded that time has a beginning and an ending. Not too long ago, we saw the beginning of 2025. And in a few hours, if you spare us, we will see the ending of 2025 and the beginning of 2026. But through all this, as we reflect back on the year 2025, we must confess that you have been faithful to your word, and you indeed are good. And so as we would look at this passage that's before us, create in our hearts an excitement for the golden nuggets that you will display to us tonight through the guidance of your Holy Spirit into the truth of your word. And so we wait to hear from you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, we pray. Amen. I want you to think of four things as we have just read to kind of summarize it. One, thrive wherever God plants you. Two, there's no quick resolution many times for the situations that we get into. Three, it's going to take time. And four, God's promises is always to lead us back to regain the things that we lost. When we read Jeremiah 28, most of us like to gravitate to verse 11. And many times we apply that verse when people are going through a hard time. We say, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord," some translated plans, all right, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But is that what this verse is saying? Is this a verse to be used for the issues of life? There's another saying sometimes people use. It goes like this: when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Very popular saying. But when we read this closely, we get to understand that God is saying a number of things that we have to remember when we get into situations. First of all, thrive wherever he plants you. Look at verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, etc. Now remember, God says, I have caused you to be taken captive, to be taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Well, that doesn't sound good. And while you're captive, I want you to focus not on your captivity, but on my goodness. But where's God's goodness? You take me from my home by this wicked nation. They've taken me captive. Have you ever stopped to think that even though they were in Babylon, they could build houses? Have you ever stopped to think that even though they were in Babylon, they could plant gardens and eat their fruit? They couldn't do that in Egypt. Why? Because there were slaves there. So this would let us know they had some type of freedom in Babylon, even though they were taken away captive. That's God's goodness. He said, I caused you to be taken captive, but I didn't leave you. And I think many times we get in situations and we're so focused on the situation, we don't see God's goodness in the situation. We don't see the power of God in this situation and say, Lord, you allowed this to happen, but I'm so thankful that you didn't let that happen. It is said that D.L. Moody bought a beautiful pair of pants one day. And he went home and his wife said, let me iron it for you. And as she was ironing the pants, she got distracted. And she burnt a hole in the pants. And she knew her husband was excited about these pants, and she didn't know how to approach him. And she came and just put the pants in front of him and pointed to the hole. And D.L. Moody prayed this prayer. He said, Lord, I thank you that I had money. You gave me money to enable me to buy these pants. Lord, I thank you that I had a wife who loved me enough to want to iron these pants for me, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that even though she burned a hole in these pants, my legs were not in them. You see, he saw the goodness even in a bad situation. And what God is saying here, even though I've caused you to be carried away captive, even though you're going to live in Babylon, build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat this fruit. You know what he's saying? You never thought about this, but this is really Psalm 23. What does Psalm 23 says? He maketh what? A table, what? In the presence of what? My enemies, and what? My cup runneth over. In the presence of my enemies, I'm sitting down. In the presence of my enemies, I'm going to have a house. In the presence of my enemies, I'm going to have gardens. I'm going to plant food. I'm going to eat. I'm going to be filled. In the presence of my enemies. He then says to them, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. You know what he's saying? Grow. How many times all year have we been praying for the spiritual growth of the saints? And God says, sometimes I have to allow you to be taken captive in order for you to grow. Sometimes I have to allow you to be taken captive in order for you to see me. Sometimes I have to allow you to be taken captive in order for you to stop doing that sin that you don't want to stop. And that was their problem. This was their second captivity. Why? Because God delivers them and they go back to sinning again. And why was that important to God? Why? Because they were supposed to be the nation to be the example to all the nations of who God is. What did he say to Abraham? Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Later on, Jesus said to us through his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And here they were sinning all over the place. So God had to do something. He says, while there, you need to grow. While there, you're going to learn to grow. And verse 7, and seek the peace of the city where I caused you to be carried away, and pray for it, for in its peace you will have peace. You know why we have all this political turmoil? Christians aren't praying. Christians are being political and not biblical. Christians are worried about Trump and what he said and what he did. I don't care. God says, in Babylon, in captivity, pray for the peace of the city. Why? For in its peace, you'll have peace. In other words, it's also what he said in the New Testament. Pray for those in authority. Why? That it may be what? Well with who? Well with who? Come on, somebody knows that verse. Well with who? Well with you. God says you have a vested interest in being a blessing to your enemies. Oh no, but we want to talk about politics. We want to talk about what he said, what the Epstein files revealed, what he wrote, and all of that. Why don't you just pray for the man's salvation if you think he's so bad? And God says, sometimes I got to let you be captive to let you know what you're missing. Sometimes I got to do things to get your attention because you're not paying attention. And so we see that wherever God puts me or whatever situation he leads me into, even though he's done it because of my positive or negative actions, God wants me to thrive. He wants me to grow. He wants me to be a blessing even in that situation. And I hope that when you think of plans, you know, it's interesting. They say 27 to 30% of people don't plan at all. 67% have some sort of plan, and 10% of the population have plans, write them down, etc., etc. And they are the ones who are successful. And what he's saying is, your plan that you should always look to execute when you're going through trials is dwell on my goodness. That's why David says, I got to take my eyes away from my situation and look unto the hills, because that's where my strength comes from. But then he says something here. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. You know what he says? Number one, you had some folks telling you in chapter 28, verse 10 and 11, that you're only going to be there 2 years. You're only going to be in Babylon 2 years. Hananiah the prophet said that. And so God sent Jeremiah to him. I'm not going to read all of between 11 and 2, but in verse 15, the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. And so God's going to kill you. This year you will die. You're not going to see the new year, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. Don't always measure what people tell you when you're in a situation to the word of God. See, a lot of us want quick solutions. God says there's no quick solution for this situation you're in, because you got to learn a lesson. But in learning the lesson, my goodness will still be on display. He says, and don't dream the dreams that you cause to dream. Well, you know, I'm going to do this, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this. And Hananiah is telling them, oh, yeah. And he did this thing with Jeremiah where he took a yoke off him and broke it and all this, and said, you're only going to be there 2 years. I know. Is God the first person you turn to when you're in a sticky situation? Is God the first person you turn to when things are going okay? Be careful when you go to someone for advice and they answer you right away, "I think." You don't want to know what they think. You want to know, did they talk to God? Did God give them an answer for me? Because many times you follow the "I think" person and both of you end up in the ditch, and the person saying, "I'm sorry, I thought," and you're saying, "I'm sorry, I listened to you thinking." You see, you got to measure what people say and tell you to do against the word of God. And even though God is telling you to do something that the world says you're crazy, which are you going to do? You see, when you do what God tells you to do, in spite of the fact, God, it does not make sense. God, I don't understand how this is going to work. But like the centurion, you say, "But God, help my unbelief." And when you go ahead and do what God tells you to do, not only do you know you've grown, but now you know that you trust God. That was why God took Abraham along that course. He didn't leave when he was supposed to. He finally left, right? He goes to Egypt, okay? He gets afraid. He doesn't trust God. He tells his wife, tell them you're my sister because they're going to kill me. You're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. God shuts up all the wounds. They get revelation that's because of Abraham's sin. They get mad at him, and they drive him out. God says, "You're going to have a son." Okay, time goes by. Well, I guess God forgot about us. So, Hagar, come over here. Ishmael is born. Then when he's 100 years old, God says, "You know, when I tell you something, don't look for quick solutions, Abraham. It's all done in my time, and 100 years to me is nothing because my time is always now." Isaac is born. And then God says, "Take your son, your only son, who you love." Circle that word next time. That's the first time the word love is used in the Bible. If you read from Genesis up to that point, you don't see the word love. "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go kill him." And he turned to the man and said, "The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship." That's the first time the word worship is used. "We're going to go yonder and worship and come back." You see, love and worship always demands a sacrifice. David, "I will not worship unless it costs me something." Love, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And so the people here, God is saying, "Don't listen to those people. I'm telling you, you're going to be there 70 years. Okay? Now, 70 years, we don't have time to get into biblical numerology, but whenever you see 70, it means the completion and fulfillment of God's sovereign plans for creation and humanity. So 70 is a critical number in prophecy and whatnot. It means completion and fulfillment of God's critical plans for creation and humanity. But let's move on. So now... Now we get to verse. See, you can't get to verse 11. You can't jump there until you go through 4 to 10. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Don't miss that. First of all, you don't know them. God knows them. You see, the reason why, even if Job says, "I don't know why the righteous have to suffer," and God never answers your why question, saints. When you're in trouble, don't ask God why. When you're in sticky situations, don't ask him why. He'll never answer. When I was a kid, my dad used to say, "Do such and such." I'd say, "Why?" He said, "Because I told you." When you ask why, you're questioning his authority. He never answers the why question. You know what he told Job? "Go down there and stop the river from licking, going past the shoreline." Job said, "I can't do it." He says, "Where were you when I did all of this in creation? I didn't check with the Army Corps of Engineers." Then he says, "I want you to go over there at that dinosaur, and I want you to get him." And Job said, "No." "And then I want you to try and get Leviathan out of the water." "No." And you know what God was telling him? "Even if you don't know why, you do know me, and that's all you need to know." And that's what he's saying here. 70 years, but here's what I'm going to tell you, God says. I know the thoughts that I think, but guess what? They're towards you. Do you know that God is thinking about you? If you're single, you should never have a down day about getting married, because God in heaven is thinking about you. You get married and then all of a sudden, you know, you say, "You don't love me." Why? He's not thinking about you. "If you love me, you do this, this, and this." My two daughters, when they were growing up, you know, I was a strict father and whatnot. And I said to them, "Anyone you bring in this house, I have to be able to understand them. And they have to be able to treat you," meaning when they talk. That's what I meant. Okay? I don't want to hear this Ebonics nonsense. Okay? And I said, "They have to treat you better than me. Because when I give you away on that day, I'm turning you over to them." Okay? And they said, "Dad." I said, "Darlings, there's one thing you making yourself miserable. It's another thing someone else making you miserable. Always remember that." So don't be too quick to get married until you're sure. Because it's one thing you making yourself miserable. It's another thing someone else making you miserable. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Then you will see, I gotta let you go through this so you learn to call upon me, pray to me, so I can listen to you. The problem with our world is because sinners are supposed to sin. That's their resume. The problem with our world is not that sinners are sinning, it's that Christians are sinning. That's the problem. Now he says, how do you accomplish all this? You will seek me and find me, don't miss this, when you search with me for all your heart. Let me ask you this. What things have you put in your heart ahead of God this year? And please don't be like those folks who put up, well, you know, next year I'm going to read my Bible more and pray more. I tell people that's nonsense. I say, you read your Bible as often, as long as you want to read it. You pray as often and as long as you want to pray. You see, you don't get to number 10 on your list, but you'll always do what's number one. 30 to 40% increase in gym membership in January. Because people, they end the year, I got to lose weight. So they run down to Planet Fitness and sign up. And of course, that's when they have all of their advertisements. They go to Planet Fitness, 2-for-1, husband and wife joints. I think the wives stay a little longer. The husbands fall off, the wives continue, or vice versa, whatever. But by April, they say most of them, you know, most of them stop going. Okay? So don't make any resolutions. What God says is have plans. We did a lesson on this with the young people. We said goals, that's a big thing. I want to lose weight. That's your goal. Then what is your plan? What is your plan? You want to I want to read my Bible. Okay, so what is your plan? What's your plan going to be? And then write it down. If you want to read your Bible more, guess what? It's got to be the first thing you do on your list. In spite of school, in spite of work, in spite of everything else. See, that's what he's saying. When you search for me with all your heart, verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Don't miss that. It's not prosperity. You're not going to get more. He says, I'm going to bring you back to the place, right? Because our trip got interrupted. So I got to get you back to the place, and now you can continue going on. He always brings you back. If you haven't spent enough time, if you've lost, and you want to get more intimate with Christ, go back to the place. Go back to where you ran away from him. Go back to where you let him go, like the Shulamite maid, right? She's running all up and down the street. She can't find him. You know where he's there? Waiting right in his garden for her. And when she goes back to the garden, I think that's Songs of Solomon 5 or so. She goes back to the garden. He's right there all the time. So remember in closing, we want to thrive in situations that God allows us to be put in there. And he says, I did it. I caused you to be captive. And before you start saying, why, oh, I thought you were good, he says, build houses. God, why'd you let me come back? Plant gardens. Oh, okay. Even though I'm a captive, I'm still free. Free to have a house, free to plant gardens, free to have children, free to pick out who they're married, free to guide them. I can grow. All right, I see it. And you're going to keep me here 70 years, but I'm going to trust in you. Eternal God, our Father, as we would meditate on your words, we see the ticking of the clock, and it's so easy to be distracted by the things of this world. It's so easy to be carried away by careers and jobs, and yes, they're all necessary, oh God. But in your word that we've read tonight, we can never really, really enter into the salvation that we have and the deep relationship that you want us to have unless we look for you with all our heart. For some of us, it might mean praying more on our focus, that we would focus more on you. Reading your word more. Praying more about our weaknesses. Loving more, being more compassionate, whatever it is, oh God, you always reveal to us the areas we need to improve. And so, Father, for each saint whose head is bowed and for those on Zoom as well, I pray, oh God, the speaker included, for as I speak to them, your words ring in my ears as well. That Heavenly Father, to the extent you allow us to see the end of this year and take us into the new year, that we will enter the new year with plans, knowing that the thoughts that you have towards us, knowing that you want to get us back to our first love, knowing that your work and our relationship with you should be the most preeminent thing in our lives. Enable us on our own to humble ourselves more before you, to listen and test what we hear and what we're told against your word. And if your word supports it, simply to do it. And to understand that many times you will send someone our way to give us that word. And even though it's a person given to us, like Philip and the eunuch, they were sent by the Holy Spirit. So, Father, even now, you've done such a mighty work in our lives in this year. Some of us started the year with all kinds of things going on that you cleared up. We didn't see how it would be cleared up. We want to thank you. We want to praise your name. But most of all, Heavenly Father, we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our desire. That's our heart's desire. That we could allow Christ to live out his life in us, that souls may be won for your kingdom. We think of those on Zoom, Heavenly Father, who walked amongst us, who would be here tonight, oh God, but because of time and its effect on our earthly bodies, they can move around no longer as they used to. But they are here. And so, oh God, we ask that you continually keep them, continually let them enjoy your word. And let them enjoy the fellowship of the saints, knowing that we remember them and we uphold them in prayer. And for those of us, Heavenly Father, who are still active, strengthen us. Keep us. Keep our focus on your work. If we're musicians, touch our hands, our lips, our minds, that we may play heavenly melodies. For those, Heavenly Father, working with the children, teaching the classes, or involved in the young people, oh God, give them continued guidance and strength. We think of winter camp. Let it be like no other, O Father, where we have not only fun, but there's a movement, a revival of your word and the gospel in those that will attend. Give us a vision. Give us your vision for the future that you have planned for us, that we may walk in that vision and fulfill the plans that you have for us. As Paul told Timothy, as he was about to go home, fulfill your ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's so fresh and exciting and new. And we look to hear what great things you have in store for us. To the extent you bring us into 2026, we just want to praise you more, magnify you more, glorify you more, and witness for you more. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank our brother for the word. I'll ask those in the radio room to put up